Live at ACB 2010, this is Michael Off, and I am at APH here. They have three tables, 58 through 60, and I've caught up with Michael McCarty, the busiest blogger I've ever met. The Fred Said blog, he's overseeing that, and a wealth of other duties at APH. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing well.
Well, very good. Nice to meet you in person.
Yeah, absolutely. I see you on the net all the time, too. So.
That's right, and we retweet each other's wares. So if you're not following Fred Said, it's a great resource of blindness-specific news and information. A lot of good stuff there, a lot of great stuff. Michael, let's talk about what you're showing here at the convention this year.
Well, so far, one of our popular item, of course, is the BookPort Plus, which is the latest model of a product we had out several years ago called the BookPort. And it's a Daisy player, nice small unit that will play all the NLS books. It plays Bookshare, National Braille Press. If you get files from them, it'll play that. Text files, just a variety of formats, Microsoft Word docs. And that's a very popular one. It's got a really, really good voice recorder that is personally one of my favorite attributes about the device. If you're in a large classroom setting and you want to record something, that's probably one of the best voice recorders that I've used to record in a situation like that.
Yes, and we demoed that with Larry, and it did make some great audio recordings.
Yes.
It even had little tones to let you know to set good audio levels so that you weren't over-modulating.
Absolutely.
Great technology there. So certainly if someone is in the market for one of those portable readers, the BookPort Plus is certainly one to look at. What else do you have here today?
Well, we have our Braille Plus, which is our note taker. That's been out for a couple years, very popular. We still have people coming back, finding out that, you know, they just discovered something new that they could do with the device. So that's kind of cool to see people that we sold it to a couple years ago, now they're coming back saying, you know, I'm still finding stuff that I can do with this thing. And so we have that here with us. We have our Refresher Braille 18, which is our Braille display.
And that is supported by System Access, and
yes,
we've had support for the keyboard that's built into it. So
yes, it is.
Explain this product, because certainly with 18 cells, it makes it a more affordable unit for someone who needs portable Braille.
It does, and we decided that one of my favorite features about it is the casing, is that we build it with a very sturdy case, because of the audience for the American Printing House for the Blind. Our traditional audience is kindergarten through 12th grade, and of course we sell to anybody. But we wanted a unit that was going to be sturdy so that if it got bumped around or even dropped, that it could survive and be, you know, fully functional. So the Refresher Braille is a very sturdy device for that. It has a Bluetooth technology in it, so if you want to go wireless, you can pair it up with a Braille Plus, which is what, of course, we originally, you know, were selling it for. But then you can also connect it to a computer. You can go USB with it if you need to do it that way, too. So it's a really, you know, versatile device. And it is strictly a Braille display. So there's no additional software or anything like that with that device.
HID compliant, which is always good. Just plug and play and the thing's ready to go. How much is it?
It is, the Refresher Braille is $16.95.
Well, there you go. $16.95, you got the portability. Is that working with some cell phones?
It does if you're running a cell phone with speech. Mobile speak, I know for sure, and there's the other one that I can't think of the name of off the top of my head. But
That's Bluetooth, right?
Yes.
USB and Bluetooth?
Uh-huh.
Right, so does that work with the iPhone?
It does.
Yes, very cool. That's exciting technology now. You can compare, you know, pair a Braille display with an iPhone, and you've got a... you know, start to end note-taking system and the quietness of having Braille so that you don't have to have out loud speech.
Absolutely.
So good stuff there. Now, you also have a bit of smaller products here. I saw some interesting-looking slate and stylus. Haven't used one of those in years.
We have a variety of those. I don't know of anybody that sells as many different types as APH has sold over the years. So we have some of those with us today. Some of our other devices that I think are kind of unusual that you might not find in other places. If you're looking for a padlock, we have an accessible padlock that, you know, if you're a student and you need to lock up your locker, a lot of times, you know, you buy a padlock and the first thing you have to do is get somebody excited to read you the code so you know how to unlock the thing, if you can even unlock it. Unless if you got one of those little tourney kind, you can't see the print, you can't unlock it either. So we've taken care of that problem with a padlock that has buttons that you can push. There's five buttons in two rows. So you might have a combination like button 1, button 3, button 5. And we'll sell you a little card with that. We'll give it, you know, it's part of the package. And that card will tell you what your combination is. So it's a nice way for a blind person to buy a padlock, know their own combination without having somebody else read it to them.
That's great. If you have roommates with friends you may not be able to trust, or exactly. If you go to a fitness center or something, right, you could use that. And
so that's kind of a unique device that I don't know, you know, if you're going to find other places. Our battery charger is a pretty popular device. It's a talking battery charger. It'll charge up a variety of the rechargeable batteries. It'll do the 9 volts, C's, D's, AA's, AAA's. And so that's a fairly new device within the last 6 months or so.
And how much is that?
That's $199. So
okay.
It's on the expensive side, but I say it's one of those devices that you buy once, and you don't ever have to buy it again. You can charge up batteries forever with the thing.
And so what types of batteries can you charge?
Well, and it's like the NiCads, your typical rechargeables that you would buy out any place.
Okay, very good. And you've got the NLS cartridges here, which are kind of nice.
We do.
What size capacity do you have?
I'm not sure which ones we have with us today. I hadn't found that out yet.
Okay.
What the size of them are. But we do have the cards, and we do have the little USB cables also.
There you go. I'm going to buy one of those from you as well. I got the cartridge and no cable, so yes, that will be very helpful.
Yeah.
And what else are you showing here?
Other things that we have is our Colorino color tester for your clothes. We have the Color Test 2, which is a little more expensive color test, but it does more colors, so it can identify various shades.
Oh, so that's different from the one I have. I have the Colorino, and it's just a light probe and basic color identification. So they've updated the unit, and there's two different versions now, right?
Well, actually, there are two different units. There's the Colorino, and then there's another totally different one. It's called the Color Test 2, and that one does more colors than the Colorino does. So it's just a matter of how specific you want to get with your colors. If you're okay knowing that something is pink, Colorino's good. If you want to know if it's rose or whatever color pink, then you would go with Color Test 2, more specific.
Okay, what are the prices of these devices?
Well, the Color Test 2 is quite more expensive. I think he's around $600
okay.
for him. And the Colorino, I believe he's $195.
Yeah, I think that's what I paid for it. Now, the Colorino has a light probe. Does Color Tester 2 do that as well?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And the Color Test 2 has other devices in it, like there's some games in there. There's an appointment, kind of like a calendar feature. It's got a clock, a bunch of other things in there, too, besides just being a color test. So it does some other things.
Oh, very good. Anything else here before I pick your brain about the world's busiest blogger?
Let's see. Well, if you're interested in time, we have a device called the Zeitgeist, and it can do a variety of time. Anything like moon phases, time cycles, if it's time related, this thing can tell you.
And the waxing gibbous. I realized when I did phone support that during the waxing gibbous, that's when the callers would talk real fast and be a little strange. And it was like 7 or 10 days after the full moon. So I could tell without even knowing. I'd go, is it a waxing gibbous? And Elena would say, yes, it is. And so now you can have the device and kind of know it in advance that you're going to have a tough day at work today.
Yeah, because I mean, like you can put in like your birthday and it will tell you, you know, you are so many years, so many seconds old. I mean, it does a lot of that kind of stuff. So a lot of folks, I've met people over the years that are just fascinated with time-related stuff.
Exactly. I know a few myself. So how much is this device?
That, I believe he is $75, I think. Don't quote me on that.
Okay, is it hard to program, or is it like a lot of buttons, or do you just go through menus?
No, actually, there's only three buttons on the unit. And they're kind of, if you think about, I always describe it as kind of like Mickey Mouse's head. You got the two ears and then the head. And so your two ears are going to be your left and right back and forth buttons, and the middle button is going to be just your menu. So that's all you need, just three buttons. And you can go through everything, set your birthday, go through the menus, and it'll tell you all that stuff as you go through.
So it's got like memories, you can put other people's birthdays, and use it like a reminder type of device,
you can. Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep, you can. You can't get real complicated and, you know, type in a bunch of stuff saying this is my doctor's appointment or whatever. But you can set it up so that way, you know, if there's something in the day that you need to remember, something in the week, then you can set it up to do that.
What about economical voice recorders? There's always a demand for that.
The only voice recorder that we have, our most economical, is going to be the Bookport Plus. That's okay. Going to be the one.
And that's a full scale recorder player. Play your NLS, Audible books, just a variety of different content on that.
Right.
Okay. Well, if that's all in the products, and there's other stuff here as well, so by all means come by booths 58 through 60. But let me talk to you about the Fred's Head blog. You got so many posts there. I'm just curious how much time you spend on that per day and what some of your resources are, because how do you stay up on all the blindness-specific news that you post?
Well, my actual title at APH when I first started was Fred's Head Coordinator, and so that's when we had the original Fred's Head database. It was out for a couple years. Whenever I was hired, they wanted somebody there full-time that would update the records, keep everything up to date, make sure that, you know, the addresses and everything we had listed were correct for the various companies. And eventually, we discovered that a blog would allow us to reach a bigger audience and allow Google to index our files and all that sort of thing. So eventually, we switched over from the database to the blog, and that got to be so popular, and then Twitter was kind of getting on the scene, and so we started a Fred's Head Twitter feed. So they decided that Fred's Head Coordinator didn't seem to be a title that was going to be engrossing enough, so they switched it now, and they call me a social media coordinator. So now I do the blog, the Twitter page, and the Facebook page that we're getting ready to launch here before too long.
Well, social media is very important, and companies who master that benefit both monetarily and socially. I mean, they communicate with their audience and their potential customers and so forth. So, and you, APH, is really kind of leading the way as far as AAT vendors, in my opinion, as far as using social networking, not only to promote your own wares, but to just really let people know of options and articles of interest and kind of mainstream coverage of blindness issues as well.
Yeah, I've had people ask me, you know, before they say, well, if you're an APH, you know, sponsored thing, why are you posting so much stuff about other people's technology and other people's gadgets? And what I say to that is social media, I mean, to understand social media, you got to be social. You know, APH, we understand that we don't make every product out there that's blindness related. We don't want to do that. What we do want to do is if something's out there that somebody needs, a teacher in a classroom needs a project, we'll make it. But we understand that there's other ways to do things. So, you know, if there's kitchen gadgets out there, we're not really into the kitchen gadget scene. So we want that to be a resource. We want somebody to know that those type of gadgets are out there. And that's really what Fred's Head was designed to do, was to tell people, this is all the stuff that's out there that's related to blindness. We make some of it, but there's a lot of other great companies that make other pieces of it. And so that's kind of what the blog does. That's what the Twitter site really does. And the Twitter site also gives us the ability to kind of celebrate blindness as far as, like, here's a blind athlete that, you know, just won a marathon last week. So we'll tweet that story.
Or two blind politicians running for government in Australia.
Exactly. And so that's the kind of thing that we wouldn't... On the blog, we try not to get into things that are time-sensitive. Because really, when you start doing that, you got to maintain it, and you put an article in, you got to delete it a couple weeks later. You know, you can spend all your days just doing that. So the Twitter site really lets us put in things that are time-sensitive. So if there's something coming up, like we have this bill, HR 3101, that's going through... and we're hoping that's going to get passed and all that to give us greater access. We can post things about that as they happen in the Twitter site.
Yeah, that's interesting developments, because with 2,000 manufacturers, you know, they're going to be lobbying maybe to have certain elements of it repealed. And I understand there was something modified having to do with DBS now, where it's only the top 25 markets, which would not include Louisville or Evansville, where I reside, and probably where most of our users reside. So it's kind of interesting to follow along with that and see where it goes. And there is a related Senate bill, is there not?
Yes,
so
there is.
You've got two different factions, and it'll be curious to see how all of that plays out.
And that's the kind of stuff we can talk about on the Twitter thing too, and you know, that way people that are interested in that can follow that. Well, the blog is going to give you more of our tips and techniques on how to do things if you're blind or visually impaired. So if you want to know how a blind person would, I don't know, sweep the floor, or how a blind person might sew something, that's the kind of stuff you're going to find in the Fred's Head blog, along with some technical articles on how to do things on the computer, websites that you could visit that are going to be accessible. That's the kind of stuff that we put in the blog.
Well, you're doing a great job. A lot of stuff. I have to pick and choose what I read because you come up with so much stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of stuff.
And that's the whole art is information overload. So you have to focus on, you know, what's important to each person. But you're doing a great job. I would encourage everyone to follow Fred's Head or twitter.com/Fred's Head. And I don't think you'll be disappointed. A lot of good stuff there. I'm always looking for news resources, and you've got a great one there.
We always try to post, you know, things that are going to be relevant. I had talked to a girl today. She said, I loved following Fred's Head. There's just so much information out there. She said, I didn't realize that there was that much stuff going on with blindness. And to me, that's really the cool thing. There is a lot going on with blindness. Just ton loads of technology, stuff from other countries. And it is kind of neat to see, you know, how is blindness... What does that mean to people in other countries? You know, things that we don't really think about. What people in India, you know, what are they going through? What do the blind and visually impaired folks there face every day? And so it's really kind of cool to see those kind of posts.
Definitely. Well, check it out if you will, folks, and come by the booth here if you're at the convention, or check it out. What's aph.org?
Yep.
Is that right?
That's it. And you can come to our new shopping website, which is shop.aph.org. That'll put you right into our shopping area where you can look at all of our products and see what you like.
You like it? I do.
There you go. And for us old fogies who still use Braille paper, there you go. You guys got it hooked up.
Still got it. Absolutely.
All right, very good.
Tons of it.
Thanks a lot, Michael McCarty from APH American Printing House in Louisville, Kentucky. And they even, if you're looking for work, I even saw they posted a phone number with a job line. So if you maybe don't mind relocating to the great city of Louisville, Kentucky, it might even be work for you if you have the right skill set. So check it out. Live at ACB 2010 for CeroTalk.com. This is Michael Loff.